But why don't you go ahead and sit back for a moment before we get to the actual absolution. Those words sounded odd to you, I'm sure, coming, saying, what is this? No problem. No big deal. This is sin that we're talking about. But I ask, how often when somebody confesses to you or apologizes to you, do you use those same sorts of words? No problem. It's no big deal. Rather than using the explicit words of forgiveness, the powerful words that we have from our Lord to tell each other that we are forgiving and forgiven. We Lutherans talk a lot about forgiveness, but do we often explicitly use the words, I forgive you? Do we confess our sins back to somebody else and ask them for their forgiveness as well? We believe that God gives us forgiveness for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is so true and so marvelous. But sometimes we don't act as if it's really that evident in our own lives. We confess, but I fear that we make poor use of the gifts of forgiveness that our Lord actually gives us, the gift from which comes life and salvation. So if you'll forgive me for a moment, I want to pause and talk about the poor uses of forgiveness before we actually get to our absolution. Three typical poor uses. First, misuse. Those of you who do become pastors will find that sometimes you will stand up here ready to give the absolution, and you'll look out at an elder or a church leader who got mad at you at a meeting on Thursday night before. And it wasn't the first time he got mad at you. And you'll stand and wonder, does he really mean it? Is he really sincere? You still will want to proclaim that forgiveness to him, even though we will be tempted to sometimes think, this person doesn't deserve it. Like the Pharisees in the story with Zacchaeus, we sometimes think that other people are less deserving of that gospel than we are. We even have a term that we call those people, and I just cringe whenever I hear this term. We call them alligators in the congregation. I actually hope you never use that term, never even think that term. There are people who steal our joy. You maybe use that term joy stealer instead of alligator, because alligator seems to imply that they aren't Christian at all. And while there may be some people that aren't in our congregations, rarely are our church leaders that way. Joy stealers can pull that joy out of our situation, but yet we want to be forgiving to all. It's tempting to think that they are insincere. And tempting to think about Matthew 18 as soon as they do something or say something. But notice what I just did there. When I said Matthew 18, what did you think of? Three steps to confront people about their sin? That's only three verses out of Matthew 18. The longest section of Matthew 18 is actually the parable of the unforgiving servant. That servant who was saved was forgiven billions and billions of dollars worth of sin by his master, but then was unwilling to forgive a few thousand dollars worth of sin to another servant, fellow servant, who owed him. We confess, even in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But yet it's sometimes hard for us to step back and think that other people are deserving of that grace. So watch out for that attitude in yourself, that poor use of forgiveness. A second poor use is actually what I call abuse of forgiveness. Maybe you've done it yourself, maybe you've heard other people do it, and they say, I forgive you, or I forgive you, but if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have to be saying this. I forgive you, with an air of spiritual superiority rather than a realization that we are all sinners before our God, seeking to share that forgiveness for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime we add buts or ifs or maybes to that forgiveness, we run the risk of nullifying it, of abusing it. Just last week in Luke 17, we heard those words of a tax collector and a Pharisee, just as in today's lesson. But then that lesson, it was a parable of a tax collector and a Pharisee, and the Pharisee said, "Thank you, Lord, for not making me that kind of sinner." But the tax collector came and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Do we come with that sort of confession ourselves? And then the third poor use of forgiveness, what I call the non-use of forgiveness, where we use those words, don't worry about it, it's no big deal, I've forgotten about it, it doesn't bother me, instead of actually saying, "I forgive you for the sake of my Lord Jesus Christ, because I too know that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness," perhaps even following up with our own confession, saying, "Would you please forgive me as well?" I think this is probably the most prevalent of the poor uses. I've done it myself scores of times. I still remember one time when a young man who had been challenging me when I was a layman and teaching psychology classes, and he challenged me, a pre-sem student actually, challenged me about certain psychological theories for weeks on end, and then he showed up to my office one day to ask for forgiveness for how he had been challenging me and how he'd been treating me, and realizing that I wasn't some blatant secular humanist that was trying to teach him psychology, but was an honest Christian who wanted him to explore all these different issues. I didn't know what to do when he fell to his knees and asked for forgiveness. I don't even remember what I said, but I don't think I said, "I forgive you." I think I said what I'm saying here. Don't worry about it. It's not the big a deal. Two pastors were in conflict with one another, and another pastor friend of mine was called to help mediate their conflict. Their conflict had become so passionate that one of them had actually taken a call to another congregation, but the congregation still knew of the conflict between these two pastors, so it was important to all of them to see these two men reconciled with one another. They came together, and as they discussed what they had done to each other, finally one of them said, "I'm really sorry. I did do wrong. I apologize." And the other one looked at him and said, "Thank you." And then he confessed, "It, likewise, I did these bad things against you, I spoke against you, and I apologize as well." And the other pastor said, "Thank you." And they looked at the mediator, and the mediator just looked at him and said, shook his head. They said, "What? What? We apologized to one another. You didn't expressly say, 'I forgive you.' Didn't specifically ask, 'Would you please forgive me?'" Forgiveness is the most prevalent metaphor that we have in Scripture for the gospel. We talk a lot about the vertical reconciliation that we have between us and God because of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is marvelous, but it's not something to be taken lightly or to just pass over and say, "Oh yeah, it's no big deal." Let's always consider the wonders of this forgiveness. And even when we do these confessions on Sunday mornings, which we do so frequently, take those seriously as well and realize who we are confessing to. Pastor Jones went home one noon, and when he got there, he saw the landscaping crew that had been working in his yard had cut his cable TV. Oh, horrible tragedy. But he didn't get angry. He went and called the cable people. They said they'd come out and get it fixed. The landscaping crew came back over that afternoon when he was gone, but his wife was there. And the crew chief of the landscaping people was so apologetic. "Oh, I'm so sorry that this happened." You know, the crew chief hadn't done it. It was one of the others. "I'm so sorry this happened. Oh, I just can't believe this happened. We should have been more careful." And the wife of Pastor Jones looked at the crew chief and said, "It's okay. There's absolution. You're forgiven." One of the crew members knew Pastor Jones and said to the wife, "You're Pastor Jones's wife, aren't you?" The message of forgiveness had come through that pastor so much that it was known in that community, and therefore even his wife was known to use those sorts of words. I hope that in parish situations, your name is known to be one of forgiveness, so that other people will say, oh, you must be Pastor so-and-so. You must be Pastor so-and-so's wife, or you must be Deaconess so-and-so, because you speak of God's forgiveness so well and so frequently. May the Lord's name be hallowed in your life as those around you hear how you directly express, not implicitly, but explicitly, say those words, I forgive you, as well. Thank you for your forbearance. Should we go ahead and do what we need to do now?